This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa nistanna bi sunnatihi ila yawmiddini thumma amma ba'd. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brothers and sisters. And welcome to lesson number 3 in our study of Surah Al-Hadid. I want to start with just a point of advice for myself, really, and for the rest of you, inshallah. In a hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Inna Allah yarfa'u bihadha al-kitab aqwaman wa yad'u bihi akharin." That Allah, he raises nations by this book, and does he also debase nations by this book as well? How are we meant to be raised and honored and dignified by the book of Allah? Well, one of the ways is that when you approach the Quran, you approach it not as a critic, but as a seeker of truth. There's a difference between the two. The problem isn't about asking questions, why? Why did Allah say this for? Or asking questions of any nature. The issue is the motivation behind the question. Are you asking a question in order to challenge the truth, or are you asking it in order to understand the truth? That's the difference. And in the Quran, we find that questions are asked, and the response differs based on the intent of the questioner. So for example, Ibrahim alayhi salam, a prophet of Allah, إِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَ. Ibrahim, he spoke to Allah and he said, "Allah, أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَ. Show me how you give life to the dead." Now what a thing to ask. Doesn't he not believe? Even Allah said, "قَالَ أَوَلَوْ تُؤْمِن." Don't you believe? And he said, "Bala." He said, "Of course I believe, but I want my heart to become even more convinced." And so Allah showed him how he brings life to the dead. Answered his question. But in another place, Bani Israel, the Israelites, they asked Musa alayhi salam, "لَن نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ حَتَّى نَرَى اللَّهَ جَهْرًا." They said, "We're not going to continue believing in you until you show us Allah right now in the open." A question. What was the response? فَأَخَذَتْهُمُ الصَّاعِقَةُ. That a lightning bolt struck them and killed them all. Look at the difference. Both asked questions. As for the question Ibrahim, it was responded to, even though it was about questioning how Allah really does bring the dead back to life. The second question was asked by people to criticize the truth, to challenge the truth. And in response, did Allah answer their question with punishment? So in the same way, when you come to the Quran and study the Quran, it really is about your heart. Why are you learning from the Quran? What is it that you hope to achieve? Do you hope to achieve a station closer to Allah? Do you hope to achieve to understand His religion better, to practice it better, to be able to share it with humanity better? Or are you simply reading in order to find places that you can say, "Look, that doesn't make sense. I don't really understand that part. Why is it like this for? Why is it like that for?" And there's a big difference between the two. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who seek the truth with sincerity in order to become closer to Him. Allahumma ameen. Okay, so continuing on from our study of Surah Al-Hadid, we are now on verse number 4. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "هو الذي خلق السماوات والأرض في ستة أيام ثم استوى على العرش." It is He who created the skies and the earth in 6 days, then He rose over the throne. This verse number 4 is still part of the first section. We said that Surah Al-Hadid can be divided into 5 sections. The first one speaks about our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Section number 5, the last section, spoke about our belief in who? Who remembers? The last section. Belief in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullaha wa aminu bi rasulihi. Believers, be cautious of Allah and believe in His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Section 2 and 4 were about faith and charity, iman and infaq. Yeah, faith and charity, because both of them go together. If you truly do believe in a cause, you will spend your money for that. Yeah, you will part ways with your cash if you believe in something. And then the final section in the middle was about hypocrisy. Yeah, and about what will happen on the Day of Judgment with the hypocrites. And the connection there is that they pretended to have faith and they never used to give charity. Yeah. So if you neglect to listen to the advice in section 3 and section 2 and 4 rather, then you may end up being of the hypocrites as well. Yes, may Allah protect us from ever falling into hypocrisy. Allahumma ameen. So this is section number 1, is about our belief in Allah. And this verse, verse number 4, it teaches us 6 things about Allah. 6 aspects of our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us count them. هو الذي خلق السماوات والأرض في ستة أيام ثم استوى على العرش. 3 things are mentioned here. Number 1, our belief that Allah, He is the one who alone created the skies and the earth. The universe that we live in and beyond, it was created by Allah and Allah alone. He is the one who initiated everything, brought everything into existence. This is the first point. The second thing, في ستة أيام. He did it in 6 days. 6 days were stipulated as the time Allah took to create this universe. Number 3, ثم استوى على العرش. And then He rose above His throne, or above the throne rather. That's 3. يعلم ما يلج في الأرض وما يخرج منها. And He knows that which is inserted into the earth, or that which enters the earth, and that which comes out of it. This is number 4. وما ينزل من السماء وما يعرج فيها. And He knows what comes down from the sky and that which ascends up into the sky as well. That's how many? 5. وهو معكم أينما كنتم. And He is with you wherever you may be. This is number 6. And then Allah seals the verse by saying, وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرًا. And Allah, regarding everything that you are doing, He sees it all. So this verse, the main message of this verse is about the all-encompassing knowledge of Allah. How Allah's knowledge surrounds us, encompasses us, and nothing escapes His knowledge. Now somebody may say, how does the first part of the verse speak about His knowledge? Because the first part says, هو الذي خلق السماوات والأرض. He is the one who created the skies and the earth. That doesn't seem to be about knowledge, does it? So who can answer this question? How does Allah, being the one who created everything, relate to His knowledge? Or relate to knowledge? Yes?
Yeah, it takes knowledge to make something.
Okay, it takes knowledge to make something, no doubt. Any other questions? Any other suggestions? Sorry. How does Him being the maker point to His knowledge? Yes.
If you make something, you know all the everything inside.
Very good. The maker, the manufacturer, knows best about the product, right? Isn't it? That's why he writes the manual. And that's why when things go wrong, it goes back to the manufacturer. So Allah is the one who created and made everything. And if He is the one who made, أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقْ, as Allah says in the Quran, doesn't the one who created know best? So every single one of those 6 points is alluding to the knowledge of Allah from different aspects. And it's meant to bring your heart into a point of appreciation about the extent of Allah's knowledge and how that should affect you as His slave. Yeah. And that is why the verse ends, وَهُوَ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرًا. Allah is with everything that you do, seeing. Meaning this, now that you appreciate how much He knows, think about how you behave in your life. Yeah. Because if you know that His knowledge is so fine detailed, then what does that mean about your relationship with Him and how you conduct yourself in this world? Okay, so that's the basic meaning. Going into some details. هو الذي خلق السماوات والأرض. He is the one who created the skies and the earth in 6 days. Have you ever thought about why the number 6 was mentioned? Or why 6 days were mentioned? Wasn't it possible for Allah to make the entire universe in the blink of an eye? No doubt it was. So then the question arises, what is the significance of creating it in a number of days? Forget about the number 6, but just the idea of it took a number of days. What's the wisdom behind that? Yes?
Does it show that the care being taken, the love and care being taken, the longer you take,
Yeah.
The more cautious you are, the more care it shows.
Okay, very good. So when you spend time on something, when you spend time on making something, how does that affect your connection with the thing that you made? You know? You show more interest in it, isn't it? It's more attached to you. And by taking more time on the thing that you made, does it also show that you spent not just time but effort and care? Now, for Allah, the whole thing was effortless. But what it does demonstrate to us, or one of the things it does, is that Allah, He cares about what He created. He cares about us enough to spend time on making the world that we live in. And so one of the reasons behind it is to show Allah's love and care for humanity. For He took time to make the universe. He didn't just make it like that. He created it in 6 days. Imam Al-Qurtubi said it also demonstrates, or also shows, at-tathabbut, which means the idea of deliberation. That human beings need to learn that in life, things come gradually. Yeah. Even Allah created the world in 6 days. Why is it that human beings are very eager, zealous, or act in haste when their Lord made the world in 6 days? So he said one of the wisdom is to show at-tathabbut, which means that there is due course for something. Another wisdom behind it is to show that Allah has a plan and a fixed time for everything in this world. The world itself was brought into creation in 6 days, in the same way as Allah fixed the lifespans of human beings. And the amount that He has fixed it to has a wisdom behind it. Sometimes Allah delays the death of a sinner, an evil person, out of wisdom. And sometimes Allah hastens the death of a righteous person. Yeah. Like, for example, Fir'aun. Do you know how many years he was able to, terrorize the Israelites? If I could use that word. Do you know how many years?
40.
Yes, one opinion is that for 40 years was he able to terrorize the Israelites. Somebody may have thought during the course of the 40 years, Ya Allah, when is it going to end? You know, when is your help coming, isn't it? 40 years. And then we learn about a story in Surah Yasin of a believing man. He became Muslim and he went to give advice to his people and he was killed straight away. قِيلَ دَخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ He was told into paradise. Somebody may have thought, well, being a Muslim did him a lot of good, didn't it? As soon as he became Muslim, he died. Isn't it? Somebody would say that. But the belief of the Muslim is that Allah, He fixes the times of everything for a wisdom.
Yeah.
Sometimes that wisdom is only known to Him. As for us, we submit to that idea. Yeah. So there are many wisdoms behind Allah creating it in 6 days, and these are some of them. ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ Then He rose over the throne. The idea of Allah being above His throne is mentioned some 21 times in the Quran. Yes, if I'm not mistaken. 21 times in the Quran. What does a throne represent? What does a throne represent when you see a throne? Yes. Okay, the majesty of the person. What else? Power. Status. So, ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ Before it is a proof of the highness of Allah in Aqidah debates, it is an expression of Allah's greatness, His power and control of the universe. Do you understand that? Yeah. Though this is a proof used by some to say that Allah is above His creation, before it is a proof of that, it is an expression of Allah's supremacy, of Allah's greatness, His majesty. ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ يَعْلَمُ مَا يَلِجُ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَمَا يَخْرُجُ مِنْهَا And then Allah says, وَمَا يَخْرُجُ مِنْهَا That He knows that which enters the earth and that which exits from it as well. What enters the earth? Scholars, they speak about, for example, rainfall entering the earth, or plants, seeds being planted into the soil. What else enters into this earth? Yep. Yes, corpses. Yes, corpses that enter this earth. And anything else that you can imagine that enters inside this earth, Allah says, He knows about that. He knows about that. The word used for enter is yaliju. But there's another word for enter as well, which is yadkhulu. Yeah? Yadkhulu. What is the difference between yadkhulu and yaliju? Some of the scholars, they say the difference is yaliju refers to entering something into a entering something small, yeah, into a small area. So into a confined area, or inserting something into something very small. They said the proof of this is in Surah Al-A'raf, Allah says that the disbeliever will be told that he cannot enter the paradise until حَتَّى يَلِجَ الْجَمَلُ فِي سَمِّ الْخِيَاطِ, until he can enter a camel into the eye of a needle. Yeah? Entering a camel into the eye of a needle. You want to go to paradise? Yes, you can. Go ahead and put the camel through the eye of the needle first. It's a psychological torture. Yeah? But the word used for entering there, حَتَّى يَلِجَ, the same word used here. So if you think about it, the earth is vast. Entering a seed into it is entering something very small into something vast. Yes. So it's about Allah knowing the finest things that enter this earth. He knows about all of that, as well as that which comes out of it as well, like plants that grow out of it. What else is taken out of the earth in Saudi Arabia? Huh? Oil, metals, resources, all of these things that come out of the earth, Allah, He knows about that. وَمَا يَنْزِلُ مِيَ السَّمَاءِ, and that which comes down from the sky. You know, one of the amazing things here is that after saying He knows what enters it and what comes out of it, Allah then says He knows what comes down from the sky and that which ascends. Now in the physical world, that which comes down from the sky is rain, maybe sunlight. Yeah, that which ascends up is what? Water. Yes, in the form of vapor. Yeah, so this is going back to school times now, yeah? So condensation and the evaporation and all the rest of it, the life cycle of water. Now, think about this. Allah said that He knows about all of, let's say, water in this example, that evaporates up into the sky. Now, is it possible for human beings to calculate how much water evaporated into the atmosphere in one day? The water that evaporates from the oceans, from the leaves of plants, from the icebergs. Yeah. Is it possible? If all the scientists got together and they made a committee to calculate the amount of vapor in this atmosphere in one day, using all the equipment, would they be able to? They wouldn't, would they? So it makes you appreciate, subhanAllah, Allah's knowledge. How much He knows. What He knows is beyond human capability of knowing. Also, from a spiritual sense, that which comes down from the sky, they said angels. Also, rahmah, the mercy of Allah comes down. Also, adab, punishment of Allah comes down from the sky. And that which ascends, spiritually speaking, the deeds of people. Yeah, in Surah Saba, Allah says, إِلَيْهِ يَصْعَدُ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ يَرْفَعُ, that to Him ascends the good word, كَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ, a word that is good, meaning the words of remembrance. Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. When you say it, it ascends up to Allah, and He knows about that. وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ يَرْفَعُ, and your good deeds, they are raised up as well to Allah. So these are the things that they go up to Allah. He knows all of these things. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ, and He is with you wherever you are. Think about that for a moment. After telling us that Allah is the one who is praised by all of creation from an eternity to an eternity, then telling us that He controls this whole universe, and then telling us that He brought everything into existence, and then telling us that He knows everything that goes up and down and into the ground and out of the ground, He then said, and He is right there next to you. How does that make you feel? And have you ever been driving down a motorway and all of a sudden, all the cars slow down? You think to yourself, why is everyone slowing down for? And then you know, because there's a police car somewhere, isn't there? You start looking, all right, I see. Makes sense now. Yeah. And even when you're driving and there's a police officer somewhere, everyone becomes a perfect driver, isn't it? Before they were James Bond. Yeah. All of a sudden, they become perfect drivers. And they start thinking about, you know, is all my paperwork in up to scratch? Did I renew my insurance or not? I can't remember. My third party or my fully car? Oh man, start becoming anxious, nervous. Just when you realize the policeman is right there. Yeah. Now, who are you supposed to be more cautious of? The police or Allah? Seriously. It makes you think, isn't it? وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. What does it mean? Ibn Juzay said, it means that Allah with His knowledge is with you. And he said there is a complete agreement amongst the scholars of the Quran that this verse does not mean that Allah is with you physically, but that Allah is with you through His knowledge. That He knows everything about you. Yes, that He is with you with His knowledge. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرًا. And Allah, regarding that which you do, is basir. And He sees it. Now how should this impact your heart? How should it impact your behavior knowing this? This verse, like how could it change you if you internalize its meaning? Yeah.
It's a form of warning, isn't it? That you need to be careful with the actions you put forward.
Yeah. Very good. It could serve as both a warning and an encouragement. Yeah. As a warning, Allah is with you. Allah knows what you are doing. Now when you're all alone and you're thinking about doing something a bit silly, you think to yourself, you know what? Allah is here. But that is an encouragement as well. When you have an opportunity to give some charity, for example, and no one sees you, and you think to yourself, why am I doing this for anyway? Yeah, but Allah is here. Allah knows. Yeah, if I'm going through some difficulty, and you think to yourself, you know what, why is this happening to me? And you control yourself. You've placed your trust in Allah. Who knows about that? No one except Allah. So it's an encouragement as well. What else though? How else could this verse affect you, knowing all of these things? It could make you become less frustrated with the oppression that takes place in this world. Because if you think about it, if Allah knows the tiny things that enter this soil and the earth, then is the oppression of the rulers forgotten by Allah? Does Allah not see and know the genocide that is taking place in Syria? If He knows what is entering the earth, of course He knows what is happening there. Yes? So the knowledge of Allah can be a source of reassurance for you as well. That nothing escapes the knowledge of Allah, not the oppressors and what they do. They will be held to account for what they do. لَا تَحْزَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Allah says in Surah Ibrahim, do not assume that Allah is unaware of what the oppressors do. Allah said that in the Quran. Okay, I'm sure there are many other lessons, but let us move on. لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. To Him belongs the mulk of the skies and the earth. وَإِلَى اللَّهِ تُرْجَعُ الْأُمُورِ. And to Allah are all the umur, I'm not going to translate it, returning. Now this is a repetition. Verse number 2 began in the same way, لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And I explained that mulk has two meanings. Does anyone remember those meanings? To Him belongs the mulk of the skies and the earth. What do we say mulk meant? No? Sorry? Who said that? You said that? Don't be shy. Dominion? Okay. Yes.
One who has control over the whole
universe. Yes.
And also is the master.
Very good. So two things. One was control. Allah has control, has control over the skies and the earth. The second one is that Allah is the owner, Malik, of the skies and the earth, the master of the skies and the earth. Why repeat the statement? Yeah. Al-Alusi, he said the repetition is there to serve to stress on the meaning, to highlight its importance, because the implications are quite grand. If you truly believe that Allah is in control of the skies and the earth, then you would learn to trust Allah more in times of difficulty, isn't it? Like Ya'qub alayhi salam, when his son was torn away from him, kidnapped by his own children, and then sold off into slavery, he was without him for 40 years and he cried. And he was hurting. But over the course of the 40 years, did he ever lose faith in Allah? Did he ever lose trust in Allah? No, he didn't. He knew لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Allah is in control, not these people. Yeah. Another benefit is that if he is the master, then what does it mean about me? He is the master, that means I am the slave. And if he is the master and he is the owner, then not only is this world his, belongs to him or his property, but so too are my limbs, my hands and my legs. We know in the Quran Allah says that on Yawm al-Qiyamah the hands and the legs will speak out against the sinner. Yeah, will speak out against the sinner. Why? Because they were never your property in the first place. And this is an idea that people have totally forgotten about. In fact, it's the opposite. Today, if you have a discussion with a youngster about tattooing the body, for example, having tattoos or cosmetic surgery or anything along those lines, or even changing one's gender, the first line of argument is, it's my body. I do with it what I want. Isn't that true? That's the first line of argument. It's my body. I can do with it what I want. But is it really your body? Seriously? Is it your body? It's not your body. It doesn't belong to you. Our body belongs to Allah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. That's what we believe. So the very first, point, you have misunderstood. Your body is not yours. Your body is a gift from Allah to you. It is loaned out to you in order to see whether you use it for the purpose for which He gave. And if you misuse it, you'll be punished. You'll be punished. So this is part of the reason why the repetition is given, because of the importance of the message and because people don't appreciate the implications of this meaning as well. وَإِلَى اللَّهِ تُرْجَعُ الْأُمُورِ. And to Him, to Allah, will all the umur be returning. Now the word umur, it is the plural of the word amr, which can be translated as issue or affair. Yeah, issue or affair. So the translation would be all affairs and all issues are returning back to Allah. But in the context of this verse, it refers to the statements and actions of human beings. Yes, the statement, the things that we say and do in our life, Allah is saying, they will go back to Allah. What does that mean? It means that human beings will be held to account for the things they used to do and the things they used to say. وَإِلَى اللَّهِ تُرْجَعُ الْأُمُورِ. Now if you think about both of those things together, لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ and وَإِلَى اللَّهِ تُرْجَعُ الْأُمُورِ, you see there's a complete picture that لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ refers to Allah's control over the world as it stands right now. وَإِلَى اللَّهِ تُرْجَعُ الْأُمُورِ refers to His control over the spiritual world in the future, in the hereafter. Yes? So the present and the future, both this world and the next, is covered inside لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَإِلَى اللَّهِ تُرْجَعُ الْأُمُورِ. Also, scholars, they said that the word al-umur with the alif lam, it connotates generality, to say that every and any statement and action that you have done in this world could be subject to interrogation, could be subject to reckoning. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for all of us on that day. Ameen. Okay, the final verse for today. يُولِجُ اللَّيْلَ فِي النَّهَارِ وَيُولِجُ النَّهَارَ فِي اللَّيْلِ. He makes night merge into day and day merge into night. The word for merging here is yulij, the same word that came up in the verse before. And it means to insert something into something else. In this case, Allah is saying He inserts the night into the day and the day into the night. What does that mean? It means that Allah, He splits the day into two parts, nighttime and daytime. And they both come about in harmony, such that when one ends, the next one begins, without any interruption, without any distortion, in complete harmony. And that's something to reflect over. Imagine I gave you, or somebody gave you, control over the sun, moon, and the earth, just one day. And the only job you have is to make sure things run smoothly. Tell me, what kind of capabilities would you need in order to make it happen? Would it be possible? You have control over the earth, the sun and the moon. Just one day, make sure the day comes at the right time and the night comes at the right time.
Is it possible? It's not possible, is it? But also, not only does it demonstrate Allah's power, but it demonstrates Allah's care, because the night and day come about incrementally, not in like the flicking of a light switch. Have you thought about that? It doesn't happen that it's daytime, 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 all of a sudden nighttime. I always think about this. Imagine if you're, you know, driving down the motorway and it's daytime, 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 all of a sudden it goes nighttime. Like someone flicked a switch. What would happen? You may crash, isn't it? So the fact that Allah brings the day and the night in splendid harmony, incrementally, also demonstrates His care and concern for His creation. That He does it in a way that benefits you. Yeah, that benefits you. وَهُوَ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ. And He is alim, He is knowing of that which is in the chests. The last time I mentioned the word alim is the more intense spelling of the word alim. Alim means the one who knows. We say this word is alim, he's an alim. But the word alim is the sighatul mubalagh. It is a more intense spelling. It means not just know, but to know in detail. In the context of Allah, to have perfect knowledge. That He has perfect knowledge about what is in the chests. Yeah, what is in the chests. What does that refer to? It refers to the deeds, as well as the intention behind the deeds. This is very interesting, because firstly, there's a connection between the night and the day phenomena and Allah knowing what's in the chests. Yeah. And secondly, there's a connection between this verse and the previous one. The previous one, Allah said, وَإِلَى اللَّهِ تُرْجَعُ what? Umur. And what do we say umur referred to? The statement and actions, yeah? The statement and actions that we do. That was already said. Here what is said, وَهُوَ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ. And He knows that which is in the hearts. Now here, let's answer these two questions. So the first one is, what is the connection between the night and day phenomena and Allah knowing what's in the chests? It seems like to be two different topics. Allah is the one who brings the night time and the daytime in splendid harmony. And topic number two, He knows what is in the chests of man, the secrets of the heart. Anyone want to have a go at trying to explain the connection? Do you think that the two things are just two different subjects? Or do you think, well, there must be a connection? I mean, especially if they're placed inside one verse. Yes, the one. That is referred to Iman. Mm-hmm, okay. Well, there's a disco happening over here, man. What's going on there? No, yes. Okay.
And so in your heart, your intention is always going to be known to you and Allah.
Okay, interesting. So you may behave differently in the night and the day, but Allah, He knows what is in your heart. Interesting. Yes?
The night is when everything's dark, because everything's in the day, and everything's light. And before, in the two verses ago,
yep.
He said Allah knows everything.
Yep.
So He knows what everything is when it's dark, and what everything is when it's day.
It's good, it's close, mashallah, it's close, yes.
So, the wording you used when you said like merges into the day and night.
Yeah.
Is it like the day and the night, they conceal each other?
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, like our sins and our evil deeds are concealed.
Okay, it's very, very good, it's very close. So Ibn Ashur, he mentioned the point, he said that the night time, it conceals that which is on the earth. But just as sure as the sun rises to reveal that which was hidden in the night, so too will Allah's knowledge reveal what is hidden in the hearts of men. Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? That which is in your heart, who knows about that? You may think no one knows about it. But Allah is saying, reflect over the world that you live in. Don't you see how things are hidden at night, and then the day comes and subhanAllah, you see what was there. I am the one who does that, and I am the one who will reveal what is in your hearts as well. SubhanAllah. See, every word, every statement in the Quran has a powerful meaning and coherence to it. It is not just, as one orientalist said, gobbledygook.
Yes?
Gobbledygook. It just doesn't make sense. So it's confusion. But it's the, again, it goes back to the advice in the beginning. Are you coming to the Quran to try and unravel the truth and appreciate it, or are you coming just to criticize?
Yeah.
The other second question we end with this is, what's the connection between وَهُوَ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ and وَإِلَى اللَّهِ تُرْجَعُ الْأُمُورِ? Both seem to be speaking about accountability and deeds. There is a difference, however. You see, to get perfect justice, the judge and the jury need to know not just what the person did, but why he did it, isn't it? The motivation is key. Sometimes a person could maybe kill someone by mistake. Isn't that possible? Like who? Musa alayhi salam. فَوَكَزَ مُوسَى فَقَضَى عَلَيْهِ فَوَكَزَهُ مُوسَى فَقَضَى عَلَيْهِ. That Musa alayhi salam hit a man and he fell down dead. Now is he a murderer? Would you be able to label him a murderer? Of course not. Even legally speaking, he's not a murderer because he did it accidentally. He didn't mean to kill him. So intention and action is required to achieve perfect justice. The opposite is true as well. Somebody could leave their house with full intention to murder someone and they get run over. Now the guy is saying, Alhamdulillah, Ya Allah. But think about that. Would he be held to account for leaving his house with the gun in his pocket, with the full intention of killing the guy, except that he got run over? Would he be questioned about that? But the act is not written there. It's not there. Intention was there. You see, you need to know both intentions as well as the actions and statements. But who knows all of that? Only Allah. وَهُوَ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ. That when you come to Allah for an accountability, it will be just. Because not only does Allah know the umur, everything you did and what you said, هُوَ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ, but He also knows the secrets in your hearts, your intentions and motivations. And again, that can serve as a warning and as an encouragement. A warning to be sincere with Allah. Do not be insincere, disingenuous. And an encouragement that sometimes you do good things and no one appreciates it. No one gives you a pat on the back. Yes? But don't worry, Allah observes you and He is eager to reward you as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us understanding. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.